Okay, discerning of spirits. The word discern may be defined as to recognize and distinguish between things. While knowledge is an impartation, discernment is a form of direct perception. So it enables a person to see what's really there with the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And when we say it, the actual verse, the Hebrew says the words discernings, which means you're not just discerning a spirit. There is discernings. And discerning of the spirit, you know, there's four different types of spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit, you could have an angelic spirit, you could have a demonic spirit, and you could have the spirit of people. We have spirits. And I think the gift of discerning of spirits works on all of those levels. What are some examples in Scripture? Can anyone think of anything where somebody in Scripture discerned the heart of a man or discerned the spirit? Yeah, exactly. To his friend Peter. Oh my gosh. He discerned that. He knew that behind what Peter was saying, he could discern Satan. Who's seen The Chosen? Have you seen the episode of Jesus and Nathaniel? Powerful, eh? But what did Jesus say to Nathaniel? Yeah, but what did he say? He said, here is a true Israelite. Yeah, in whom there is no guile. And so Jesus was able to discern the spirit of Nathanael and instantly knew that, you know, some people do have guile, but this guy didn't. And so he was a true Israelite in whom there was no guile. Any other instances that people can think of? Okay, Book of Acts, again, Simon the sorcerer. You know, he was part of a revival. He got baptized. He was known as sort of the great one in the area. He was performing miracles and doing witchcraft and that kind of thing. Made a lot of money out of it all, by the way. And then Philip comes down and evangelizes the place. And he sees Philip placing hands on people and people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And he offered the disciples, and actually Peter and John came down and joined Philip, and they actually started praying for people. People were getting filled with the Spirit. Simon the sorcerer said to Peter, hey, can I give you a bit of money? I'll give you all you want, but I want that the ability to be able to do that. And Peter rebuked him sharply. I won't go through it. He said to them, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God can be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. So first of all, he discerned that his heart was not right, obviously. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. So Peter was discerning who the Simon the sorcerer really was. In other words, he had come to kind of believe that maybe Jesus was real, but obviously he had not experienced repentance. And Peter, just through the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to discern. Actually, he hadn't repented. There was still wickedness there, and he needed to repent of it. So Peter saw right through it. Another instance would be in Luke 13, Jesus with the woman who was disabled. Remember, a disabled woman came to him. For everybody who had lived in the area, all they saw was a disabled woman. But Jesus said, no, she's not just sick. She's been bound by Satan for 18 years. Jesus was able to discern that it wasn't just a physical ailment, that she was bound by the devil. And he discerned that and was able to release her from it. I think the gift of discerning of spirits is very important to the body of Christ. It reveals character, motivations of hearts, identifies evil spirits. And I think it helps those people who are praying and ministering with people to have a good sense of accuracy in the way that they operate. And so again, I just think, man, who wouldn't want these gifts? You know, if you're a leader or wanting to be a leader, who wouldn't want this? You know, you'd want these gifts, and I think we should eagerly desire them. A couple of examples. Do you want me to share on this? Just Tony and Dell's. Oh, discerning. Okay. Discerning spirits. I guess one instance is where we were in a house staying with some friends, and in the middle of the night, I don't know what sort of dreams you had. But.
Oh, yes, can I just explain it a bit?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So I had a dream that was the same, obviously the same place.
Same
what? Oh, sorry. You see, I'm not used to here. That's why I don't do this. Anyway, so I had a dream, and it was very scary dream, actually. It's hard to explain. There's a big box like this, and there's a, I don't know. Anyway, about people carrying things, like a box, and all decorated with skeleton, those
skulls.
Yeah. And then inviting people to worship and walk into the beach. So I was there, and then I was very afraid, but very dark, very spiritual, and come, let's worship, kind of like almost like a spirit of death. But anyway, that was the dream I was having at the same time.
So at the same time, I was having a bit of a dream also, but I just immediately became aware of something very, very dark. I mean, very dark and powerful in the room. And as I was waking up, the words were ringing through my mind, come to the seance, come to the seance. And so I was like, whoa, what the heck is this, And immediately felt this almost physical attack. Didn't need much discernment for that. But I obviously discerned that it was a spirit of witchcraft. And so I just began battling against the spirit of witchcraft, in the room when we were there, and eventually we sort of got through it. But it's a very strange thing. It's the only time I've ever been in a house where I've experienced anything close to that. And afterwards, I was talking to my mother, who knew the family, and she said, oh, yeah, they had seances in that house all the time. And we had no clue. But again, it was just very, very clear that it was a spiritual attack, pure spiritual attack. And so we were able easily at that time to discern that it's a spirit. Duh. But the other time that probably I had this gift operate was when we were in Japan. We had a mother of a boy, a young boy, must have been about six, seven, eight maybe. And she was certain that he had a demon, that he was possessed, because just at a certain point, about a year before or thereabouts, he just went silent, became mute. Couldn't talk, wouldn't talk. And so they invited us over there to cast the devil out. And so we didn't really know what to expect, but again, we just sort of kept our radar up before the Lord. And the Lord showed us very clearly it wasn't a spirit, a demonic spirit. It was actually a wounded spirit. And as we talked to him, what had happened is that he had been wanting, when he was in school one day, to go to the toilet. He had a very strict teacher, and the teacher refused to let him go, and he wet his pants in class, and the whole class laughed at him, and it wounded him so much that he just became mute. He wouldn't talk to anyone. He wouldn't do a single thing. He got booted out of school because he just wouldn't talk and he wouldn't learn. And so in a very short period of time, we were able to recognize what this was. And we prayed for the wounded spirit and really just began to sort of minister love and joke around with him. And then he actually started to laugh and talk. His mother was in shock. But for us, it was the most simple thing. There was no deliverance. It was just simply ministering to that young boy's wounded spirit and that boy having a sense of light and healing come to him and completely changed his life. So again, had we spent hours trying to cast out a demon that wasn't there, that would have been damaging. But that's how the gift kind of works. So, any questions on any of this?
Do you think it's like quite clear, or is it like a word almost, like, oh, it's the spirit, or is it like, for example, I feel like this may be just me learning how to cope with like different people, but now I feel like sometimes I can you can tell something's wrong with someone, but only a little. Like, I'm not that good at it, but like you can pick up something small.
Yeah.
It's not
super clear,
it's not like, oh, it's the devil, but...
Come out!
I suppose my question is, like, is it varying degrees, do you think?
Or, yeah. But I think the fact that you have that is an indicator that you do, very likely have that gift of discerning spirits.
I feel like the girls are probably all better at it than that.
Well... Girls actually do. I mean, they naturally are very, intuitive, and I think they do pick up on these things. Guys are a little bit slow off the mark on that, but that doesn't stop God from still using guys and girls. Lily?
Can it be a mix? Like, you said there's more of a wounded spirit, but do you think people need sort of like pressure?
Yeah. I think the enemy can definitely jump on it. But I think there is a root. And sometimes the root is just pure demonic, sometimes it's actually pure wounded spirit. And if you can hit the root well, then I think you can deal with the other stuff on top of it. And that's where I think the Holy Spirit does. He sort of helps you to understand the root. But if you are in a situation where you're just sort of sitting with somebody and then all of a sudden you feel, oh, man, there's something really wrong here. I feel like there's something dark, you know. And the way that some people I know who have this discerning of spirits is they feel nauseous when they're in the presence of something demonic. It's their way of actually sensing that there's something very, very wrong here. And that is partly the way that this discerning of spirits works. So,
yeah, I had I think it was similar. I don't know if I've got two stories. I don't know if you guys consider this part of discerning of the spirits, because you're in the story, so you can correct it if you need. But everyone knows I'm super chill. I don't really get flustered or worried about much. Who cares, you know? Very much she'll be right, as I'm sure everyone knows. But then living at the boys' flat had this random period of time, and I just had heaps of panic attacks and freaked out and broke down. It was just real bad. And I was like, I don't think I was even doing anything. There's nothing to be stressed about, but I was freaking out about nothing. Someone was like, oh, Tony needs to be picked up from the airport. So I was like, oh, I can go and do it. And I just broke down on the way there to the airport. I was just like crying and shaking in the car, and I was like, I was such a mess. I had no idea what was going on. And so naturally, wisdom came to me. It was like, you should message Tony and go see him. So I followed up on my own wisdom, and Tony and Toshi were just like, oh, it's probably a spiritual attack. And I was like, oh, probably. And it was just like, I just did not pick up on it at all. But then Tony and Toshi were able to, just see that straight away, pray for that, and then stopped after that. It was great. Had an awesome time afterwards, so thank you. And so that's my experience from on the receiving end of discerning, where I guess you could theoretically just be like, oh, I'm just going to keep going with life, or, oh, that person, they'll be right, they can just keep going. But then, you know, if those things actually continue for a long period of time, it can cause some serious damage over time. So to actually, also realise, the importance of such a gift in bringing healing quickly. Because as with anything, if metaphoric sickness is able to last for a long time, can cause quite a lot of hurt. And then a second time where I think I had an experience, I've sat in many church services in which my theological brain has been triggered. I've been like, nah, bro. You're smoking your socks. And I've had many experiences where I'm like, if I just did not care so much, I would just walk out, but I just couldn't really be bothered. But in my head, I'm just like walking in my head, and I'm like in the car in my head. But I'm just sitting there like, these people, they just don't know what they're talking about. But then this one time, I had a very different reaction, and I don't know why. But just something in my spirit was just, had a sense of, it was almost like a deep sadness, but then with a bit of grief in there as well, and just hearing what this person was saying and what they were doing. It was just so intense. And I was like, wow, this is actually quite different. This is not usual. Hearing someone teaching something there, I'm like, ugh. But this actually had a very unique, internal heaviness to it, where I was like, wow, that's actually quite different. And so I had to leave, because I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to, jump up and down or something. I don't know. So I was like, I have to get out of here and just pray to the Lord. And so I think, when you have those moments, like you said before, it's kind of, you kind of know, it's hard to explain, but you kind of know when when a gift is, when you're potentially you're operating in something where you feel that difference in your spirit as well. So yeah, it's a very intense time, but very important nonetheless.
Very good.
I think, you know, many of us do have that sort of spiritual sense, like Nevin was explaining. And I think I learned not to ignore it, although often I don't really see clearly what it is, but you sense something. Even like, you know, walking on the street, you random person, sometimes, not because of the way they look, obviously, you kind of feel almost sick feeling, like, ooh, you want to ignore that person. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. And those times I pay attention to it, whether I avoid that person, because sometimes it's protection, I think. So if you have any sense, I think it's unwise to ignore it. But it's unwise to drawn to it as well, same time. So again, you need wisdom. If it bothers you a lot, then you should pray about it. And if God give you more instruction what to do with it, or just put on a shelf. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I just commit this to you. Something like that. That's what I do. If it's to do with your family or with the friends, again, you seek the Lord, ask wisdom, and express your concern, things like that. Yeah.
So I just want to finish up by talking about how we can perhaps begin to identify the gift that God has given us and what the sort of process is, and maybe help some of you to be able to recognize what your gift might be. I was listening to a guy on YouTube just as I was sort of prepping for this, and he came up with three things that help, and I kind of agree with him, so I'm going to share some of what he said. And one of the things he pointed out is that when you have a gift, you actually have a desire to use it. You have a desire to function in that particular way. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts." And Paul adds, "Especially you may prophesy." And if you know the context, you'll know why he said that. But your desire to exercise in a spiritual gift may be an indication that God has actually given that gift to you. And so I want you to sort of think a little bit about, and one of the ways that you know is that when you see somebody stand up and function in a gift, could be a word of knowledge, or it could be prophetic, or it could be whatever, and something in you is kind of ignited, something in you that almost breathes a... something, you know, something in you is sort of switched on. You think, that's what I want to do. That's another indicator that may be the gift that God has given you. So think about what you desire to do in terms of service for the Lord, just not because of anything outside influence, not because of anyone's expectation, but what you personally kind of desire. And it never really leaves. When you look at Andrew, he's had pastoral evangelistic desire most of his life, and it took him a long time. It stayed with him this whole time, right, bro? Yeah, never left him, but it was with him right from the word go. And often when we are saved, that's the way it works. It's something that God downloads to you very early. You might become aware of it. You might become aware of these desires, and that's a good indicator that God has actually given you a gift in a certain area. So desire is one. Recognition is another. Proverbs 18:16 says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great." And as your spiritual gift grows, it does kind of make room for you. Opportunities begin to materialize. And also, other believers tend to sort of see something in you as well. And that's sort of a confirmation sometimes of what God has given you. If someone comes up to you and says, "Man, you know, I see this in you," or, and I've been that. I've been able to look at certain people and think, "Man, you are so gifted in this area," and sometimes they have not been even aware of it, but I've been able to see that gift in a person, and we'll often try and, you know, encourage them in it. This is one of the great blessings that Ken Wright was back in the day, is it was his life's goal to see what was in a person and call it out and support it, you know, allow God to use them to sort of bring it to light and encourage this person. He just loved seeing what God might be calling a person to and speaking to them to encourage them to do it. So he was very, very good at that. The last thing is function. And if you look at 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, Paul was saying to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the eldership. And so it was function. Paul was actually saying, Timothy, grow in it. Don't just sit on it. Another place he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And this is something that we've got to learn to do. I don't know how many people are actually consciously aware of the fact that if you want to function in the body of Christ, in the gift that God's given you, you've got to stir it up yourself. You have a role to play. It's not just going to sit in you and then automatically act through you if you're not going to, you know, run with it and allow the Holy Spirit to use you. And so when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, it's likely that you'll begin functioning in that gift even without you really knowing that you're doing it. And others will sort of start to recognize that gift in you. But again, it does come down to the fact that it is under our control. The Holy Spirit doesn't manipulate and force anything on us. It's up to us sometimes to take a step of faith. And so in Sunday mornings, if you have a word of encouragement, for example, for the church, are you willing to stand up and share? Or is that something just for the older folk? How many of you, to be really honest, have been in a service in the last year or two and you felt God say something to you, you felt a moving, you felt your heart thumping, and you haven't responded to it? Anybody? Exactly. A few? Luke's like. But that's an indicator, and I just think at the end of the day, though, we've got to remember that all of these gifts are given for the common good. And so at the end, when we stand before the Lord, I think one of the things he's going to ask us, or that we're going to become very aware of what he gave us and what we did with it. I think that's going to be really something that all of us will have to face before the Lord one day. And the reasons for not functioning in the gift that God has given us often are as petty as I'm frightened, or I don't know what people think of me, or my reputation is stopping me from doing this. It could be a whole bunch of really, really things that when we get into that realm before the Lord, we'll think, what was I thinking? And I just think, especially in New Zealand culture, we've got to get over ourselves and not be so frightened about our reputations, when others will think of us. And when you feel that prompting, it may be just to go up and say something very simple to somebody. And that may be where your word of knowledge begins. I knew a girl once who was just prompted by the Holy Spirit to go and give a bouquet of flowers to somebody down the road. And she just thought, that's a weird thing. But she did. She said, I don't know why, but God wanted me to give you these flowers today. And this lady said, was in shock, began weeping at the door. And she said, I was going to kill myself today. But God prompted this lady to do a very, very simple thing. And it really, really ministered to her. And that was it. You know, that was the way. And it's an extreme situation. But what I'm saying is, imagine how much we're robbing each other simply because we're too scared to use the gift that God's given us. We've seen the abuses, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be too Pentecostal. You know, I don't want to be weird and wacko. And if I do that, they're going to think I'm a wacko. And we come up with all these excuses why we shouldn't move in the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I just think that it's not going to wash with God. I think when God gives us a gift, he gives it to us for the body. And if we are able to, as much as we can, use that gift for the body will be blessed. And if people get excessive, if someone says something wrong in the meeting, if it's not too bad, we'll probably tap them on the shoulder and have a word with them afterwards. If it's cutting right across the meeting, then Andrew, myself, or one of the elders will probably stand up and bring a correction of some kind. So we're in a safe environment, really, I think, in COV. But don't be frightened just to stand up and say a word. You know, it could be, man, I don't know who's here, but I just felt the Lord really wanted to encourage somebody here with da-da-da-da. And that's all you say. And you never know, it just might change a person's life. So it can be the most simple of things. Anyway, my encouragement to you is, number one, you've all been given a gift. And because it's a gift that you personally have been given, it's up to you to decide what you do with it. Is it going to just lay idle in your life, or are you going to fan it into flame and use it for the common good? So.
I think, you know, all of us are work in progress for sure. We have issues in our lives and struggles, and sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm not good enough. But I was like, when I was very new Christian, I didn't know a lot of scriptures, or I didn't have a lot of teaching. But when I got saved, I just wanted to encourage other people, although I didn't know a lot of things. And just simply because I wanted to encourage others. And with that reason, like, for example, I was a very, very new Christian. That's before I met Tony. I used to visit this lady. She was in a wheelchair, and she was able to come to church with a friend. But during the week, she couldn't come, so I used to visit her. And on the way, I pray. I say, God, is there anything you want me to say to this person today? So he will prompt to me very specific things. So by faith, because it's an encouraging word. It's not a warning. It's not like, you sinner, repent. Not that sort of things. It's quite positive, very encouraging. So I thought this could be very safe things to do. But anyway, so I hear God. So I go there and I share. And she was very surprised because specific things she was asking God to confirm to her. That's what she meant to be doing. Things like that. And of course, I made mistakes as well. So whether we feel good enough or not, how immature we are or not, but if we are truly willing to help others, you know, very genuine way, I think God won't use us today as we are today. And I think as I walk with God and be obedient to God sometimes, even now, randomly, God prompt me to pray for people I don't know very well. So I go into quiet room and then pray, and God reveal things for these people and pray and intercede. And as I did, again, through those things, I come to know God, who he really is, and my prayer life becomes much more real and personal with God. So yes, going out and help talking to people, pray, or whatever you do, but I feel like when I do these things, it's not like, okay, this is a time to use gift, this is time to do this, do that. Instead, I feel like I'm walking with God, doing things with God. So God became much more real, and the Holy Spirit becomes so real in my own life. So I don't feel like doing religious things. I'm actually living with God, working with God, doing things for God, journeying with God. And through all this, I'm coming to know God as well, and his heart for people, not only for myself. So I think it really, when you use gift, it comes back to you as a blessing as well. It gives you revelation of who God is and what he carries in his heart for people. Sometimes it really surprises you how gracious God is and how patient God is for the people. Maybe you even struggle. Maybe you think, oh my gosh, pull yourself together. But when you pray for that person, God sees a totally different picture to the way you think. And I experienced that as well. So I really encourage you to, if you recognize gift, do use. But sometimes, I think maybe you guys are already using it, you just don't know it. That's what happened to me. I didn't have any knowledge of those things, but I was somewhere, I was already functioning, and someone else come along to me and say, hey, Toshi, this is da-da-da-da-da. And I'd, oh, okay, like that. So maybe you are already using it. So anyway, I hope you'll be encouraged.
Just wanted to maybe have a quick time of waiting before the Lord. So right, just for a minute or two. And for those of you who want to, we're not going to ask you to come at the front, get laid hands on or anything like that. You might want to, but just I want you to be game enough to actually ask God the question and ask Him to reveal to you personally the Holy Spirit, what gift the Holy Spirit has given you. And then if you get that from the Lord, then just say, commit yourself to saying, Lord, as much as I'm able to, I want to begin to function in a gift that you've given me, you know, without worrying about my reputation or being fearful, and help me overcome those things. But I just think when you hear a message like this, it's a bit of a waste if we don't actually ask God the question and ask Him to reveal it to us. You may already know. That's great. But some of you may not. And so let's just take a minute, and then Nevin will finish up.